Welcome back to Lazy Gumption, episode 180, Making Things Right. I'm here with only one other member of Ladies with Gumption this week, and her name is Tatiana, because unfortunately due to tragic circumstances, Jessica cannot be here with us tonight, but she will be back next week. As you know, we recap DCTV in a flash. You can usually find us over on Twitter at DCTVGumption. You can email us all your thoughts at ladieswgumption@gmail.com. or send asks over at ladieswgumption.tumblr.com. Our podcasts are available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, and anywhere else you can listen to podcasts. We do have a Patreon, so if you are not on our Patreon, we do extra episodes, including you get this episode 24 hours in advance. You get other things like HBO Max Premium. We discussed Doom Patrol. We've done a little bit of Titans before in the past. Not so much most recently.
But soon we'll do the Batman.
Yes, we will do the Batman next week. We've done MCU stuff as well. We've done Loki. We've done WandaVision. We have done Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We've done Upload, The Witcher, You, Season 3 most recently. So there's lots to love and discuss over on Patreon. And we do take ideas and stuff. So if you want us to talk about a show that we have talked about before or something that you would want us to watch and discuss, we are happy to take that. And we are on patreon.com/DCTVGumption if you so are willing to give us your support. And to those who already do, we are grateful to you every single day. Over in the news, we have our DC films are delayed again, which is not really a surprise at this point, right?
Yeah. But it's just, it seems like so strange. It seems like the Batman just did so well, right? You think you want to build up momentum, and instead it's, I don't know what the heck they're doing.
Yeah, I think the main problem was like COVID-related delays, so not necessarily story, we hope. Because, you know, COVID can be just a,
right, you
know, a general excuse nowadays, for obvious reasons. But DC League of Super Pets, which I'm not sure how many people care about that one, but it moves from
the May trailer 20th. Was quite cute. The trailer was quite cute.
It was. From May 20 to July 29, Black Adam shifts from July 29 to October 21st. The Flash once again moves from November 4th to June 23, 2023. And someone on Twitter was like, I don't think the Flash movie exists. I was like, I will believe it when I see it, when I'm in the theater seated with my popcorn. Aquaman moves from December 16 to March 17. And then Shazam moves up from June 2023 to December 16. So, hope you got all that, because it's a lot. And over on the CW, Flash and Superman and Lois are currently the only CW shows that are likely to be renewed at the moment. Legends and Batwoman are on the bubble, unfortunately, while Naomi could go either way. And
oh, dang.
Probably the CW sale, like they really just don't know what's going on over there.
That's true.
But they're still developing shows because we've got Gotham Knights, which cast three people, Oscar Morgan as Turner Hayes, who is apparently the adoptive son of Bruce Wayne, which
that seems like, I feel like there were so many adopted sons you could have chosen from.
Yeah.
This is the one that you, like, who is this man?
I hope it's actually like a cover and Turner is actually somebody else, you know?
Yeah, like Tim or something.
Yeah. And then Olivia Rose Keegan as Duella and Navia Robinson as Carrie Kelly.
Carrie Kelly actually is a name I know, so there's that.
So, I mean, it sounds exciting. We don't really know whether this is going to get picked up or not, but, you know, CW continues chugging along. And then on HBO Max, we have The Penguin is getting his own limited series there, and they've scrapped the Gotham PD
Which is too bad.
It is too bad. And I guess they're trying to focus on like Arkham-related stuff. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
And then in our format, of course, we have Joy, No Joy, Your Feedback, and we'll crown the Lady with Gumption of the Week. To take it away on side A is Tatiana.
Side A. Naomi, I am not a used car salesman. Which, finally, we understand the truth behind Zimbabwe. So, when Naomi finds herself in dire circumstances, she's forced to seek help from Zumbado, who knows more than Naomi could have imagined. He gives her vivid flashbacks to Earth 29, or as they call it, Earth, and shares what happened to its protectors who gained powers, and how he was set up to seem like a spy and a traitor by Brutus. He gives her... Meanwhile, Dee and Annabelle team up to try to rescue Naomi from Dr. Bell. Naomi finds out her parents were friends, her real birth parents, were friends of Zimbardo's, and he settled in Port Oswego to protect her. And for some reason, I cannot say Zimbardo's name. I'm saying it differently every single time. Zimbardo. Okay. Written by Jill Blankenship and directed by Lisa Frantz. I want to say Lisa Frank because that just seems perfect. What what sparked joy? May, the only other person that I can direct this question to.
Well, I like this episode a lot just because it got into the actual mystery of what was going on Earth 29, or Earth, as they called it, and just Zimbardo, oh my god.
See, it's so hard!
His whole, like, backstory and how he was just, like, a regular old guy before everything changed and he got powers, and him befriending Akira, and then Akira being the one to betray him, so it was all interesting, and it was fascinating because up until this point we'd gotten only clues that he was a not so great guy from everyone else except him. So he's like, let me tell you my side of the story. So it was really nice to get that side of the story, and the fact that he could connect with Naomi by showing her the story rather than just giving us exposition about it, which was really nice. And also it balanced well with them trying to, like, escape the building from Dr. Bell, who continues to be terrible. But I'm really glad that it gave, you know, Naomi and Zimbardo a chance to bond with each other, and kind of that whole line about, you know, you shouldn't necessarily trust people or, you know, think of them as good before you know the whole truth. And she's like, well, what was I supposed to think? I don't, you know, you were just this creepy kind of guy just following me, and I didn't have any of the information. So I'm glad that he gave her that information, because otherwise we would have just continued doing the same thing over and over again. So it's really nice to expand on his characterization and just kind of get his side of the story. And it also just makes him a more interesting character than he already was, because now he's no longer as mysterious. And I like the fact that he's connected to her parents, like he knew them. He can tell her, you know, who they were, and the fact that they trusted him was really great. And I think that kind of expands Naomi's growing friendships with all these adults in the show, which is really nice.
Definitely. I agree with you, especially that this episode really felt like we were launching into the forward momentum that the season needed, paired with last week's. Last week's had already started that. But now it's like a good sign that we are continuing. We're really getting some answers that we've had since, like, the start of the show. And it was really cool to see a different side of Zimbardo, and also get to see the actor Cranston in those flashback otherworldly type scenes. Plus, we really got a glimpse of that world that he came from, so we can see little bits of how it's the same versus how it's different. It definitely made him a much more compelling character, and it got to make more use of the acting chops that he clearly has. Whereas in the first few episodes, he really only gets to, like, glower menacingly and be like, don't do it! So, I'm glad we're getting to see him be more three-dimensional and see that bond forming with Naomi. And then, of course, we learned, like, I think there was a part while we were watching the episode where we were thinking, like, oh my god, he's gonna be her dad!
Uncle or something.
Yeah. He, like, knows her dad, or knows her parents. But it's still cool to see how his story intertwines with hers and getting closer to, like, why she is like him and yet different, right? There's, like, something even more going on. Also cool to get the background with Akira, and to understand more of that weird dynamic that they had when we saw them meet. So, like, they were once friends, but then deception and disgrace. And when he was like, she still doesn't trust me, she still thinks that it was me or whatever. So I was like, oh, that's it. I'm wondering where this is going to go. So yeah, I really liked all that. Also, I thought that Dee and Annabelle were just, like, a fun little, like, surprise pairing. I wouldn't have expected to see her be like, okay, well, I guess we will team up now. So it was just both two tiny girls with their, like, creepy adult protectors.
Yeah, and Annabelle's, like, the only friend I would allow for her to expose her to D, because she was already in the know, and he's like, she told you about me? And she's like, yeah.
Yeah, he's like, well, to be fair, she tells me everything. I don't know why you weren't going to be able to stop that. So that was fun. That was funny. His reaction to it was funny, too. And also, once again, like this time, I don't even remember if we saw the rest of them, the rest of the kids. I don't remember who we saw, but it did feel like, yeah, okay. it felt much more, what is the word? What am I saying? Like the narrow focus benefited the episode. We didn't even see really the parents until the end. And that was fine by me. So yeah, overall, like, I did think, like, them getting out of the hospital was tense, and I was, like, wondering when it was going to happen or how they were going to do it. And they did manage to, like, pair that present time concern well with the flashbacks, although that, like, my, like, one negative thing will be about that. So, speaking of negativity, what did that spark boy?
I just wanted more. Like, I felt the switching between the present and the flashbacks kind of did the narrative a disservice, because we could have gotten, like, it's like, let me tell you the story about my past. And then the whole episode could have just been a flashback, because I feel like we're still missing big chunks of the story in terms of, you know, Brutus and, like, what he's been up to and really why he's after them, aside from the fact that, like, oh, well, they have more power than me, you know? And even more of, like, Akira and Zumbato's friendship and, like, what that looked like throughout the days. And it's just, I just felt like that part was lacking. And what also continues to kind of, like, frustrate me about the parents is that they seem to flip-flop every episode. It's like, last episode it was, you know, they're in the midst of Zumbato's bad or whatever. I can't even remember, to be honest. And then, or they were investigating something to make sure that Naomi continued to be safe, or the military was, like, investigating what was going on. But now they're just like, it's like they're back being in the dark. They're like, we're just going to make pizza and have a nice night at home. Whereas, like, Annabelle walks in and she's like, have you seen Naomi? And I felt like they should have been more suspicious of what was going on, because they already know sort of what's going on with her. They already know that she knows she's not of this earth. So it just felt like they're just still in the dark. They're just hanging out. And it just feels so weird, because I don't need them to be in the story the whole time, but I need them to be more invested, or I need them to feel like more realized characters and kind of not just sit in the background doing whatever while all this shit's going down. Because it doesn't feel like these are Naomi's parents. It currently feels like Zumbato and Dee are her parents. And that's just a strange thing, because they're kind of helping her along while they're just like, have some mushroom pizza or pineapple or whatever. And like, she's gone and they don't even realize what's happening. And it's just so weird to me. So I don't know.
You aren't actually wrong. I mean, I hadn't even thought about them that much, because I was like, oh, they're not really in the episode. Good. But you are right that, like, I think that overall their dynamic and their characters and everything would have benefited if they had stretched out the we know and you know that we know, right? And we know that you know that we know. Whatever, that whole thing. Like, if we were still, like, in, like, parallel stories where Naomi did not know that her parents knew and her parents did not know that Naomi knew, and so they were doing shit on their own trying to protect her, but then believing her lies about where she is because they think she doesn't know. You know what I mean? So they're like, oh, good, Naomi's still all good. Nothing has, like, out of the ordinary. Meanwhile, Naomi's like, good, I'm totally keeping my cover of being totally normal or whatever. And that would explain the strange dynamic that's going on here more than the whole, like, because you're right, like, if they know that she knows, then wouldn't they expect her to be out, like, researching, out, like, you know, whatever, and, like, trying either helping her with it, if you want to have the just, like, hunky-dory dynamic, or trying to stop her if the whole, like, we know better and we're protecting you from yourself kind of storyline. Both of which would work, but neither of which they're really doing. So it is a little bit, like, shaky ground, like, they don't know where they're going with it. That being said, just like you, I love the flashbacks. But I also think, like, the escape from the hospital should have been, like, the first act. Like, let's put all the tents escaping from the hospital together. So you're like, oh, are they going to get out? What's going on? And also, once they escape, she still doesn't know if she can trust him, right? She's like, wow, you just helped me in that 10-minute sequence. Why? And then he's like, let me tell you a story. And then we get uninterrupted flashbacks. Or interrupted with just Naomi being like, wow, I can see and hear and feel everything. Like, you're Max Evans and I'm Liz Parker. So, like, I thought that was weird, because it definitely cut down on the tension of them escaping. Because it's like, how are y'all still here in this spot? How do you have time for him to project you into this other earth while Dr. Bell's about to projectile y'all into another earth or whatever?
And so, why is Dr. Bell the only one in Star Labs?
Yeah, so that was a little bit iffy. Like, I think that's in general, like, maybe Naomi can work on its pacing, right? Just, like, how it doles out plot points or how it organizes climactic events in the episode. But this was definitely one of the better episodes as well. Like, this one, last week, and the premiere have been the best episodes so far, I think. So, do we have Naomi feedback?
We do. Suarez says, Naomi was good, but I still enjoyed last week's more. It almost felt as if this episode was slowing down again, even though we learned a lot from Zimbardo. I don't know. Glad to know more of the details and why he's been constantly checking in on Naomi, but I'm not convinced he's telling us everything. I think he might be Naomi's real father and doesn't want to tell her yet, but again...
And that's why he's gassing up her dad. He's like, your dad was the best of the best.
Good guy. He trusted me. I love how Earth 29 looks exactly like ours, but has just different moons. LOL. Also, the fact that there were 29 people who got powers, hoping that we can get out of Port Oswego, to be honest. I think the plot will pick up a lot that way. Looking forward to next week.
True. The plot will probably pick up.
I think that was it for Naomi.
The rudity. But speaking of the plot picking up, where do we think it will pick up to? where do we think it's headed? Do we have any?
I don't know. I just feel like I want there to be more, or like you've been saying for like the last few podcasts, you know, for Naomi to like be using her powers, to be messing up, to try and fail, because currently it just feels like the threat is not right there in front of her, except for like the whole Dr. Bell thing. So it just feels like I just want more. I want to know all the things so that we can actually get to formulating plans and seeing how we're going to get out of it, you know?
I agree with that. And like, it was a little bit odd, like for a second, like it was like she tried to use her powers and it didn't really work. And then Zimbardo was like, oh, they put a dampener. So that's the explanation for that. But then he kind of used his powers, I think, right? So then I was like, so I guess your powers are just stronger than hers, but then you say that she's the strongest? Well, I'm not seeing it.
You're like, so, the logic.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a little bit weird. Like you are the best of the best that we have seen you do nothing. But okay. So we'll see. I don't really have any predictions other than I do think we will get out of Port Oswego now that we have, because usually the reason why you wouldn't is because you're like, you don't have money to spend on a set, but clearly we do have a set for Earth 29, for example, so like we could go there, you know, now. So I do expect us to abandon, and also like they've kind of like made it known that she could easily move, so I expect some attempt at moving to happen. So that's that on that.
And now we're moving into The Flash, which is back after a three-month hiatus after the first five episodes of Armageddon. Side B is impulsive excessive disorder. So after returning home from a visit from their parents' vow renewal, Bart and Nora realize that things are not exactly as they left them, because Jay Garrick is now alive and they have saved him in the present a few months ago when he was supposed to die, and he's no longer married to Joan. He's married to some lady named Marie. So they race to repair any fissures in the timeline and restore everything back to the way it's supposed to be. While they're in 2013, they do meet Eddie Thawne, who is that guy who sacrificed his life and tried to save their grandpa Joe from being shot by. It was not the Royal Flush Gang. It was just at a jewelry heist. But that means their fluctuations have caused the Royal Flush Gang to terrorize... Tati's screen to terrorize in advance of when they would have actually terrorized Central City. And then Caitlin dates Marcus off screen as well, because that happened for some reason. And then Barry just, you know, sends everyone to Paris for their post New Year's dinner after Armageddon, which is something we did not see because, you know, Allegra drank too much and partied too much. I don't know what was happening there. And then Iris's brush disappears in a green light because they continue teasing this time sickness storyline that we are not getting on the screen. But this episode was written by Thomas Pound and directed by David McWhirter. What sparked joy?
Well, when you put it that way, did anything? No, I'm just kidding. Like, it is hard because, like, nowadays I'm like, oh, Flash. This feels like a chore more than, like, an something I'm really excited about. But I do like the Knott twins. I do like Nora and Bart. I do enjoy their interactions. I love Jessica Parker Kennedy. I love Jordan Fisher. So it's nice to see them again. It's fun to hear about the family from their perspective. And I did care about Bart feeling guilty, thinking he doesn't live up to his dad's legacy, and then finding out from Jay, that's so silly because your dad actually sucks. So, like, that was great. Also, I did find it, like, when he rescued, whatever, Joe, and did the little time-stopping thing and, like, kissed him on the cheek. That was super cute. So there's that. Overall,
he's a very loving child.
Yes, yes. Full of love. I also did like meeting Avery Ho. I am assuming it's Ho. Like, because why would they have a girl named Avery?
Is there another Avery in the
group? I don't think so.
She is the one.
Yeah, so it's nice to meet her. I hope that they get to use... I hope she's utilized in the future. Preferably not as Bart's love interest, but that's another story. And also, I mean, like... Iris looked good in that final scene, or whatever, in her Paris outfit. I thought she looked excellent. And I'm glad that we're teasing a storyline for her, even if that storyline is, like, time sickness might make her disappear for 2 episodes.
hate it here.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Yeah. So, overall, I thought it was just, like, a... It felt weird to have that be the episode back because it's very much an interlude episode. So, like, if Armageddon had happened and then you'd immediately continue with the rest of the season, it would make sense. But with the 3-month hiatus, it felt kind of weird. But it was still just like a vacation, right? It was nice to see Eddie again, even if he wasn't doing anything particularly interesting. But his little back and forth with the Knott twins was cute, where he kept trying to send them to get coffee. And his excitement over Joe, like, not treating him like shit, also cute. So, thanks, Eddie. And also great to see Iris in that outfit. She also looked good there, except it doesn't make sense because this is not the day that Barry wakes up from his coma. So why is she wearing that outfit? But who cares? Who cares? She looks good in it. She knows she looks good in it, so she wears it all the time.
we'll say that she was on a student budget. She could not afford that.
There you go. There you go.
And, like, at least she looked like she belonged in 2013. I can't speak the same for Coma Berry. But, yeah, I mean, I didn't hate this episode either. I'll get to that later. But I did like the West Town siblings. I also like the confirmation from the actress who played Avery that in the script, Bart is actually Bart West Allen and not Bart Allen, which is, you know, relieving to me. So I love that. And I just love their dynamic so much. I like the confirmation that they sort of live together and that they've taken over the loft. So I guess, like, the West Allens in general probably moved to, like, a bigger home somewhere else. And just their dynamic in general, because you can very much tell that they are, A, chaotic together, and B, you know, for that whole conversation about Bart not feeling like he's living up to Barry's legacy and calling his sister perfect, but she's like, I messed up a lot. You should have seen me in my 5th season days. Constantly messing up. So that was really nice, and it felt genuine, and it was just, again, love their dynamic, love the fact that, like, when they were pretending to be, like, CSI interns, they're like, we gotta go do science. Science awaits. Like, I cannot go get you coffee because science. So that was really cute. And I also love the little kiss he gave Joe when he was saving him, because it was just, like, full of love. And he's just, like, so pleased with himself. He's like, see, I'm doing the thing. I'm saving people. I also liked, besides the love interest thing, I did like their interactions with Avery, because I think that she is a pretty solid character. She's very fun. I would be interested in seeing more of her later on. I did like just seeing, I mean, I don't love Eddie, and, like, I don't really care that he's back, but it was interesting seeing, like, the pre-Flash dynamic days, like, how he was constantly butting heads with Joe, or Joe didn't really care for him that much, and just sort of feeling bad for him, I guess, but, again, I don't really care that much. But I'm happy that he's happy he's back, I guess, you know? It's like a little thing. I loved like the final scene too. Like everyone just seemed so happy to go to Paris, even though I think that it's a failure of the show that Barry and Iris can have any alone time. But I will say I did also like the scene of the post vow renewal of them just sitting as a family talking and stuff like that. It felt very natural, and I would like to see more of that as well. So it was just like, you know, it wasn't a terrible episode. It was there, and it was, I guess, a nice interlude. I like the West Allen siblings very much. I like seeing them on my screen. I love their dynamic together. I think they're super cute. And I like seeing Jay again, and I am glad that he's alive in the future because there's a lot of angst there. But what did not spark joy?
Well, I don't even know where to begin, but let's just begin with like the little things. I would have liked to see some Joan if we're going to disappear her, replace her with another woman and then reappear her. Would have been nice to see her. I also feel like these are not necessarily the, even with having Eddie in the past, like, that would have been fine if you had chosen some other moments. There have to be more relevant moments, you know? Like, for example, if Eddie had been in danger and they were like, oh, we have to save him because if he dies now, then he won't be around to save Barry later. And then it turns out, after he got saved, maybe that's why, like, he talks to Iris because of that, and then something happens that then makes her like him, right? And then they're like, oh my god, us saving him is what caused him to go out with Iris in the first place. That's so crazy. We were always here. Kind of storyline would have been more interesting than the storyline they did. But whatever. And that's just like because Eddie's there, not because you didn't have to do that. Just like, just think that there's definitely other more memorable moments that you could have gone to. Secondly, like, dear god, why did they all have to go to Paris? Why couldn't Barry and Iris have gone to Paris alone? Can they just be married? What's happening? So,
pushing daisies, indeed. You knocked it out of the park.
I'm sorry. I just don't understand. So, yeah. Other than that, what did... Okay. I already said I don't like the Royal Flush Gang. I don't find them very interesting. I like that we're, like, trying to have, you know, put the metahumans in there, create the villains, whatever. But, like, there are more interesting Flash characters that you could have used. There are characters that you have used in the past. I'm sure you could have called some people up and some of them could have come over and reprised their roles who are not the Royal Flush Gang. So, yeah, I just don't find them very threatening or interesting. And then the dude that, like, the bank robber or whatever, he was jewelry store robber, was, like, a little funny. Like, it was funny that he was so incompetent, but I feel like it's representative of, like, the more juvenile humor that the Flash has now that I wish that we would take away. I wish we would go back to the days of the Flash having slightly more intelligent, mature humor. Just saying. What else? What else do I have? Just that between, like, Caitlin dating Marcus, but, like, we haven't even met Marcus yet. Like, why is this valuable information? If you're going to do a storyline out of that, of Caitlin finally moving on, like, perhaps inspired by the speech that Abard gave her, shouldn't we see that? Shouldn't we at least see her first meeting with Marcus? I don't even, you all know, I don't care about Caitlin, but, like, where is the development of these characters? Mm-hmm. It's just, things just happen to them. And just, like, Iris with the brush disappearing, like, how much is Iris gonna actually deal with this time sickness? And Bray brings up that question, because before, she was gone for, like, 3 episodes, or however long it was that she was gone. And it's not like we saw her dealing with those effects. We're just like, god, Iris is sick. That's so weird.
It was one episode, but it felt like 3 episodes.
Right. But, like, no, because, like, even before that, wasn't it like, oh, he thought she was pregnant, and then she wasn't pregnant, right?
Correct.
And then and then it's because actually she's sick. She's not pregnant. She's just sick. And then it was like I have been rescued from the time sickness. Thank you. So I was like, you'd think you'd have, if that was happening on any other show. And I won't even say that because I know that we feel it when it's Iris. But, like, this happens for a lot of characters. But if this happened on any other show, there would be a whole episode about dealing with that. Maybe there will be in the future. I don't know. We'll see. But Anyway, I just think that, I don't know. I guess we'll just see how this season goes. We'll see.
Yeah, I don't have much hope. But but I agree with you about us needing to see these things, because I hate that when things just happen and it feels like I'll be watching and be like, wait, did I miss something? You're like, no, they never actually explained it to me. They just threw it out there and thought of it as a story. And I'm like, that's not how great writing works, guys, but okay. I will say that the brush disappearing was kind of like the more interesting part of the episode, just because it felt like it set something up, because this episode did very much feel like an interlude, and I like filler episodes. I will argue for them. I will fight people about them, but filler episodes still have something where we really learn something more about the characters themselves, whether it's like their development, whether you're even like putting in little things for the plot that will come later on. And it just felt like this episode didn't really do any of that. I don't know. Like, I agree with you about the whole Eddie thing. Like, if they had done something to try to, like, save him from being hurt so that he can go on to sacrifice himself. Because it's like, if he's going to come back later because of whatever they changed in the past.
Right.
I feel like it could have been more relevant to what they were saying now. So it would be more obvious that something's going to happen with him later on, you know? Because they come back to the present and clearly, like, they're still there, which means they were born. But, like, we don't know what happens to Eddie. So I feel like that could have been more interesting, at least, since if you're going to bring him back anyway, do something with that and make it more intriguing. Because otherwise it was just filling in blanks we didn't need to have filled in. Like, I didn't need Iris and Eddie's little meet cute, whatever you would call it. I didn't need to see that. It just reminded me how little chemistry they have, and also I feel like it retcons the season one when she told Barry that he was always filling in for Joe so that they right. can be with Barry at the hospital, and that's how they like started talking, because he was like the one bringing them coffee sometimes and not like vice versa. And I feel like
that would have been a scene that would have been better.
Yes, exactly. And also, like, Barry's in a coma maybe what, 3 weeks now or so, and like it doesn't really seem like anybody cares. Like, it would have been more interesting had we gotten some angst so that the West Allen siblings could kind of feel like what was happening during this time and what it meant for everybody, because I don't really feel like it did that. I didn't care for the Royal Flush Gang either. I thought they were very silly. They could have been interesting, but I just, whatever. And I don't know, it just felt like it was fine, but I was also whelmed. Like, there could have been a lot more. And I feel like if this season is going to be shorter, then I feel like it's a waste to have them spending time on an episode that doesn't really advance the narrative. Because even, like, Iris's brush disappearing, they could have put that in the beginning of next right. episode or something, and nothing would have been lost. So it's just frustrating to continue watching this show where it feels like you could be character building, you could be giving us interesting storylines, but you're not. You're just teasing us. But it's like those, like, you setting up a mystery, you have to actually deliver on that mystery. You can't just tell us that something is going to happen but then nothing actually happens. And so that's how I felt much of this episode.
Absolutely.
And you shall see what everybody else thought. Starting with Sonia. So Sonia says, so excited that The Flash is back. Finally, let's hope the back half of season 8 is as good as Batwoman season 3 has been. Oh, I don't know. I don't know about that. Loving Nora and Bart's interactions. It's hilarious that Jessica and Jordan have such good sibling chemistry. And I especially love that it's 2013, not 1913 line about his choice of outfit. Oh, you know, sorry, Sonia, before I go on, I forgot to mention that I did like something, and I just forgot it, so we'll be back. Seeing their reactions to Uncle Jay being alive was just so touching, and I teared up when Jay was talking about a great hero Bart was going to be. The references to Joan Garrick, who I don't think we met yet, right? And Booster Gold, yay for Easter eggs. Not sure how I feel about shoehorning Cecile into Joe's life romantically at this point in the timeline, as when we saw Cecile previously in the show, prior to him and her getting together, they never showed Joe being romantically interested in her, so that was weird. Very true. It honestly feels like that Arrow flashback episode when Oliver was thrown Starling City from the island and they randomly had him checking Felicity out, which was so dumb, like just how dumb this was. Aw, too bad that they went to get coffee from a random coffee cart. I wish that they could have gone to Jitters and seen Iris because it was there. If there was a coffee cart right outside the precinct, then why were they always going to Jitters to get coffee? Very true. We could have had a scene with them and Iris, but alas.
We definitely should have had a Jitters scene with Iris and them. Also, I totally forgot to mention Cecile and Joe. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie, though. I didn't have a problem with it. That's the most I've liked Cecile and or yeah. Cecile at the time. Also, in season one, when Cecile was around, I did ship him and her and Joe. So I would have to politely disagree on that. I did think that he was sending vibes. But to be fair, you can blame it on post-crisis and say that it was because after the changes. That first time. But anyway, I do think it was like, again, like, if you're going to see shit from that time period, seeing Joe and Cecile not even get together at that point is not the thing I would have chosen. So I do agree with that.
Yeah. Dad would have gotten it right the first time. LMAO, Bart, no, he wouldn't have. Someone please show him the first 7 seasons of The Flash to comfort him. It looks like Barry's in a hospital during the coma scene, so I'm guessing he hasn't gotten moved to the cortex of Star Labs yet. No matter how fast you run, life is about the journey. Love it. And this is why they had the Flash cast randomly play that, who said it, Barry Allen or a Disney character game. I love Avery. She's super cool and hoping she can be a recurring character later in the season. Bart is so smart with thinking about Avery being his future to fool Mona into thinking he wasn't from the future. Mm-hmm. Nora finding all the bombs in like 2 seconds and getting them out of the casino. That was so legit. Streak them sounds so bad. Why was that ever his name? Yeah, Iris being in the episode, loving the fact that she's in the same shirt from the pilot. Iris calling Eddie Detective Pretty Boy and then saying it's accurate, and then him calling her lovely was super adorable. Like, I didn't hate Iris and Eddie as a couple and thought they were actually super cute. Also, the fact that she agreed with the nickname because it reminds me of that scene in the pilot when she's like, well, he is pretty, and Barry was super jealous. Bart got his kiss with Avery. That was so cute, and the Nora coming in covering her eyes was hilarious. Loved it. If screwing up the timeline was a deal breaker, your dad couldn't be the Flash. LOL. Jay tricking them with President Luther was funny. Oh my god, why is Cecile always in such inappropriate dresses? This was years ago, Sonia. Okay.
Leave Cecile alone. Cecile from season one is okay.
Anyway. Hilarious that all of them are going to Paris except Caitlin, for she gets cut out of the engagement party scene in Armageddon and Elvis. Love the thing with Iris's hairbrush disappearing and can't wait to see what this means for her time sickness. Excited for the next episode.
I can't believe I forgot to mention so many things. I even mentioned Avery in my likes and I forgot to mention my dislikes. Barb's not even love interest in Avery. First, A, Nora's right there.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't you just have Avery and Nora be a ship if you wanted to? I'm pretty sure, well, we know that Nora likes girls, and if Avery's gonna like anyone, I'm pretty sure it'd be a girl, okay? And B, Bart has a perfectly acceptable love interest, and her name is Valerie Bettis, and you should introduce her instead. In fact, even the character that was written here for Avery would make more sense if it was Valerie. Because Avery is just a fellow speedster. But whatever! So, it's fine. I did not like that they made that romantic. Okay.
I agree with that, because I feel like that's fine, and I'm not against, like, time travel romances, but it felt like, what was the point? You're just going to go back. You're only here for, like, a day. And then you're going to go back. So, also, the show just needs more queer representation. Like, exactly. Nora is right there, and we did nothing with her. So I don't understand. Like, give her something, even if it's, I don't know, flirting with someone from across the room, but I think it's just the fact that this show wants to pair everybody up with, mm-hmm. and it's all heterosexual couples is just starting to get on my nerves. We do have Anita's feedback. She says, you know, it's been a tough few months, and I just wanted to unwind with a little light, fun speedster goodness with heaps of West Allen. If Eric Wallace thought he could escape my wrath by throwing adorable, supportive West Allen speedster siblings at me instead, it almost worked. Pulse of Excessive Disorder is how I want to see filler episodes. The Allens, the West, and no dependence on Team Flash or Star Labs. The key to this show is really that balance of raw, untamed speedster talent with Barry and Bart, tempered with wisdom and plenty of heart, like with Nora and Iris. I had to Google Avery Ho, and it's probably because I wasn't all over the comics in 2016 when she was introduced. But I enjoyed other in-show callbacks, like, did you catch a parallel between Bart flirting with Ava at the coffee truck and Spencer flirting with Nora at Jitters, only to be interrupted by Nora and Iris? Just me? Okay. It might be good if the fillers could let us peek into Bart and Nora's heroics in their own time, instead of retreading a don't script the timeline plot. It's a little laughable to me that the Flash Museum's computers have such comprehensive databases and are so usable that our heroes can pinpoint precisely where they went wrong and strategize how to fix it, but it beats Thor Labs. Kudos to Bart for blocking Mona's mind-reading powers, and what would he do without his mentor, Big Sister? Look at Nora being a speedster Simone Biles. I had to guffaw when Joe and Iris said, here's to 2014 not being weird. They have no idea. But here's my strongest feedback. Eric Wallace's reported comments from the Flash podcast did not spark joy. Allegra, take over CCC Media. Please tell me it's brief and temporary while Iris recovers from time sickness or whatever they cook up the sidelines.
That is what I interpreted when he said it and what I would hope. Like, there's a reason that Allegra takes over CCC being that Iris has time sickness. However, I totally agree that, like, how are we getting the plot lines that we wanted with Iris in the first place, but now it's Allegra.
Yeah, we barely get her being a journalist. And I don't like Allegra being a journalist. Yeah. Like, it also does not compute. Every time we've looked into the future, Iris was firmly in charge of her media company. She's pretty much on her way to being the Oprah of Central City. So what the F is this? Candace has elevated the Iris West character, made her almost as famous as Lois Lane, and she's impacted Iris West beyond DCTV. That's not a debate. What is Eric's problem? I just don't understand his and the other writers' reluctance to support what works. I think you know what pisses me off about Iris and journalism on the show in general is that every single time we have a publication dating back to, like, what happened in the past, it's never written by Iris. It never even mentioned Central City Citizen. Like, there was, forgot to mention what sparked joy is that Booster Gold cameo in the
movie. Oh, yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. But again, that was in 2032, and who is it written by? Some rando. You know what I mean? So it's just, that's frustrating too, because every time they bring it up, it's like CCPN. I was like, I thought we'd moved past that, guys. You know? Yeah. Bigger things. But anyway. Suarez feedback for The Flash. He says, The Flash was legit really good. Love Nora and Bart fucking up and fixing the timeline. Did it make the previous loss with Jay a bit hollow now? Yes, but still, yay, Jay is alive again. I love Jessica Norton's banter, and they seem to get along really well on and off screen. Excuse me. While I appreciated Bart having those insecurities about not being as good as his dad and sister, I'm still like, don't you know just how many times your dad fucked up and learned from his mistakes? Also, hey, Eddie, guess you're not going to be Cobalt Blue after all, sobs. But I love them subtly interacting with Grandpa Joe. Again, Jessica and Jordan were fantastic throughout this episode, and I can't wait to see them again. Do I expect that the rest of the season will be anywhere near this good? Alas, no. And I pray for the day when we finally hear about a Flash series finale that will finally set us all free. And that is that on the feedback. Do you have any predictions about where we're going this season, Tati?
That's a good question. Well, I think in the Cursed interview, Eric also said that Reverse Flash is going to be sprinkled throughout the season and then come back, like, in full force or whatever by the end. So, since the only other storyline I know about is Harry's time sickness, I'm going to say it's connected to that, right? Either he's behind it, or it has to do with something that he is going to do that displaces her in time, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that will be one guess. I don't have any. I don't even know if there's another guess. Like, is there another guess? In a different interview, Eric said that Ronnie's return has to do with Caitlin's new dating. So the point of Caitlin going on a date is that Ronnie will just show up. So I don't know how.
Which we predicted will happen.
Yeah. I don't know, like, how he's going to show up again, but presumably it'll somehow have something to do with what the kids did, even though there's no clarification. I don't understand. But we'll see, I guess.
Yeah. I want to hope that the time sickness stuff has to do with Thawn. I'm not going to get my hopes up for that, but that would be the ideal good story to go. And I feel like these ideas all have potential to be great, but again. I don't have any proof that they will be so far. So we will see. But I feel like we probably might see Nora and Bart again at some point. And just hope that the time sickness story does justice by Iris in general, and that she doesn't just disappear permanently.
For no reason.
For no reason.
Yeah.
you know, we can hope. Yeah. Lady with Gumption of the Week.
Well, I mean, I don't really think there's only two options for Naomi, and I feel like I would say Annabelle just for like going out of her way to grab Dee and get help, but Naomi is probably like the stronger choice there. Mm-hmm. And then what are your thoughts on Naomi?
I definitely think Naomi, because she trusted Zimbadu when she didn't have to. Mm-hmm. And she came back for him when he told her to run. She could have saved herself, but she's like, no, I have to go save this man.
That's true. She did. She did save him, and we do love that for her and for him. for the Flash, I mean, Nora.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. Nora. Between the two, though, who are we picking? A tough question.
I feel like Naomi... Like, Nora felt like it was more... Even though she did, like, undo, like, the bombs or whatever, that was pretty cool of her. But it still felt like she was more supporting Bart through a mm-hmm. version of what she'd already done. Even though it wasn't really her, but you know what I mean. Versus Naomi was more having to step up in the face of new obstacles and information from Zimbadu. So I guess I would say Naomi.
It's true. She also had to, like, feel all of his feelings.
Exactly. Which she did.
A lot, so.
She did feel all the feelings.
Yeah. So, Naomi, our Lady with Gumption of the Week. We will
Yay.
Be back next week, same bat time, same bat place, to discuss Naomi and Flash, and to also do our Patreon episode of The Batman. So if you have not already sent in your feedback, please do so now. Yes, Sean, we will read yours for sure. So just sit tight. And until next week, bye everybody.
Bye.